Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. Pastor, man of God, your wife left everything to follow you in your dream. Are you going to leave her with nothing? The Bible says he who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. As men of God, we're ready to stand before God due to tragedy at any moment's notice. But what about our families? What happens to them if we were to die? There's an easy financial solution so that they don't have to go through poverty or destitution. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.
Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com for more information and to start your application online. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
God, amen. We serve an incredible King. Yes, we serve a wonderful God, a Savior, a refuge, a merciful God. Every day His mercies are renewed, His grace towards us, and what an honor, what a privilege to be part of this work. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 24. So was blessed by the preaching this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1 to verse 12. I'm sure some of you at least have heard about the scandal that's going on in the UK. It kind of has come out. It's called the post office scandal. It has to do with a miscarriage of justice in the year, started about 15-year period in the early 2000s. 900 sub-postmasters, people in charge of the post offices, were persecuted for theft, for false accounting, for fraud. 900 were prosecuted. The problem was, it wasn't true. The new software that was being used was giving false figures. The scandal is because obviously men and women went to prison. Men and women lost their reputation. Families were devastated. People, in fact, in four cases, there was suicide. Tracy Felstead was 19 years old. This was her first ever job. And she was convicted of stealing £11,500, $20,000. And when she was sentenced to 6 months, the judge said to her, "You've stolen from old age pensioners, her first ever job. It's a terrible feeling when you're under suspicion, especially when it's false. Our text is about the relationship between King Saul and David. David, once upon a time, was a favorite, but now he's being pursued and Saul wants to kill him. So it raises the question, what do you do when you've fallen out of favor with those who are in authority? When you've fallen out of favor with headship, you've fallen out of favor with your pastor, your boss at work, the family elders. They look at you differently to how they once did. How do you handle that? I want to preach about being under suspicion. 1 Samuel chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel, went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs, and David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord has said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hands, that you may do to him as good as it seems to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterwards that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe, and he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went out on his way. And David also arose afterwards and went out of the cave and called out to him and said, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of the men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eyes spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see. Yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you know and know and see that there's neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. I want to look with you, first of all, at being under suspicion. And I guess the first thing to say is it can happen. It is a reality of relational dynamics. 1 Samuel 18:9, it said, so Saul eyed David from that day forward. An event has taken place, something has happened, and now trust has been broken. From that day on, something happened, and now you're being looked at differently. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9 that Saul had come to Jerusalem. This is the Apostle Paul. Saul had come. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. He was converted, but they knew his past, and so they didn't trust him. I remember a time in my own life when Pastor Wayman Mitchell, Pastor Mitchell, due to my close relationship with a man who turned out to be a rebel, was a rebel, working against the church. But because of my close friendship with him, there was a time when Pastor Mitchell was unsure of where I stood. I remember that season. Paul with John Mark, we know that there was a situation where Paul the Apostle was furious with this young man. John Mark was once a main disciple, and he let Paul down in a critical moment. He abandoned a missionary trip, and Paul flew at him. And in that moment, John Mark would have known what it felt like by being marked by those he looked up to. It can happen. The angry words spoken to you by someone you view as your spiritual father, someone you look up to. The distant look. You ever had that? Ever had the distant look? Just kind of look at you, but they're not looking at you. Just kind of looking through you. Jesus rebuked Peter. I mean, we read it, but Jesus rebuked him. Those words, they must have cut. I love you, Jesus. And Jesus must have cut, being under suspicion. Now, it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. Everybody knows Saul has got a problem with David. It was told Saul, "He's over there, Saul." Everybody knows, man. Saul is ticked off. Saul has a problem with David. Others are now caught up in it. Ecclesiastes 10:4 says, "If the spirit of the ruler rises against you," the reason why that's in the Word of God is it can happen. Preaching Pastor Brown, we'll take it so far as good preaching. We're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Where's Richard Ruby? Where's Richard Ruby? We want him. Okay. The point is, it can happen. There are various reasons. Our actions, our past failures. In Mark chapter 16, verse 3, it says, "But go and tell his disciples," this is an angel speaking, "go and tell his disciples and Peter," Jesus has risen from the dead, "that he's going before you into Galilee. Go and tell his disciples and Peter." It's like the angel knows something about human nature. If he'd have said, "just go and tell the disciples," there may have been some that said, "well, Peter's not really a disciple because he denied Christ and he should have known better." He was told, he was warned. And so, sometimes, because of what we've done, our loyalty's questioned, our discipleship, because we blew it. We did the deed. We did it. And now there's that look. You know, David, later on in another text, is talking to Saul again, and there's many reasons. One, as I said, our own doing. Secondly, the truth, as David is pleading with Saul, Saul's own heart, his own thinking, his own insecurities. Sometimes it's just them. Thirdly, David, when he speaks to Saul, he says, "If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering." This is in 1 Samuel chapter 26. He says, it's possible, not only my own failing, not only what's going on in your own head. Thirdly, sometimes the Lord may have stirred him up against me. Why? Because sometimes we don't see things, and God wants us to feel a look. He wants us to feel a way that we would look inward and begin to analyze ourselves and check. And if that's the case, oh God, let him accept an offering. Let me get it right. Then he says also in that same passage, if it's the children of men, sometimes someone has whispered in their ear and turned them against us. But here's the conclusion of the first point, simply this. If David, a man who loves God and Saul, comes under the microscope, could this be part of the journey of any disciple, being under suspicion? So I want to look with you at a surprising responsibility, because in our text, it is David who is seeking to pacify. Now that goes against everything we think fair. And oftentimes when we're in this position, we say to ourselves, hey, it's not my issue. Why should I have to prove myself? It's their problem, not mine. Well, I know my heart. I know that I'm right. I know that I'm okay. If they think I'm not okay, then, hey, man, that's their problem. We can become very indignant. After all that David has done for Saul, after all that David has done for the children of Israel, all the years I've been in the fellowship, all that I've done for the church, all that I've done for this and that. That day, many would have agreed with David, possibly, if he'd have said, well, I was pushed into a corner. I was pursued and pursued, and now I'm hiding in the recess of a cave. I had no other choice but to defend myself. I had no other choice but to leave. I had no other choice, like in our text, being encouraged to attack him. But David's not like that. David is carrying the responsibility to prove his heart. He's carrying the weight. This is not, well, hey, you got a problem, not me. No, he doesn't think like that. He said, this is not what you think, Pastor. This is not what, he comes out of the cave. He's got a piece of robe in his hand. He's bowing down and he's saying, others wanted me to kill you, but I could, but Saul, I'm with you. Later on, Saul again is pursuing. And there's a time when he and his army are asleep. The Bible tells us that David and Abishai sneak in through the camp. All the soldiers are sleeping. They sneak in and they come right next to Saul and they take his spear and the jug of water. At great risk to his life, at any time as he's weaving his way through those soldiers, any one of them woken up, any one of them saw him, any one, he would have been a dead man. He's risking his life. He is willing to do whatever it takes to prove. And there's the point. There's a cost to this. Well, I did this and I said that and I showed. And you set limits. I tried to explain, there's no point. He doesn't listen anyway. David doesn't see it like that. He's going to go to the nth degree. He's going to creep amongst enemy soldiers, hardly breathing, determined to prove his heart. Proverbs 20 verse 2 says, the wrath of a king is like a roaring lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. What God is saying, this is a relationship that can't be easily dismissed. Well, I don't care. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care. I want to tell you, his view has power. And whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. Proverbs 16:14 says, as messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. What we're speaking about, and what Pastor Peter Field preached on this morning so powerfully, we're talking about a God-ordained relationship. And some people, they fail right here. They feel they're out of step, they're out of whack with their headship. And so few survive. Very few relationships survive suspicion, because to restore it takes humility.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
Oh, good preaching, Pastor Brown. When Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth. I feel it. Some of you, well, he's got a problem. My heart's right. He stooped with his face to the earth, bowed down, and still spoke of him as God's anointed. He looked, you've got to look beyond your hurt. You've got to look beyond your anger, your disappointment, to a revelation of God's order and choice. For exaltation does not come neither from the east nor from the west, Psalm 75:6-7, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and he exalts another. It takes humility. It takes, secondly, an understanding that there's a demonic realm that is seeking to break this relationship. You know, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. It was a distressing spirit that would come upon Saul and he would throw the spear at David. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He doesn't just accuse you. He accuses others to you. And there are pastors, and most pastors would acknowledge that there are times in our ministry we're sitting on the stage or whatever it is in life, and the devil assaults your mind. That brother, he's against you. That look, that, see that conversation? They're trying to, and it can mess with you. Yeah, we were talking about this with some pastors, and an older pastor said, wow, he said, when I was a young man, much of my ministry would have been responding to what I was thinking in my head about what people are thinking about me and what they're doing. Because the devil is an accuser of the brethren. You see, what you've got to remember, my brother, is that all men have had men swear allegiance and then betray. I remember years ago, it was an Australian friend of mine, I was leading there in the UK, and he was in my house. He'd been saying things that were just, you know, they're off the wall. He'd just been saying stuff, and so I had to discipline him, and he was the leader of a great church in London. There was probably nearly 200 people. It was a powerful worker, but he was, you know, he was doing, and we were friends, and I said, I can't have you preach at the conference. And so I disciplined him, and so he wouldn't. But, you know, come on, man, come on. I mean, we can get over that, surely. So he's in my house after the conference, and, you know, I'm trying to encourage him, and I'm sitting there saying, come on, you know, come on, we can get over there. We need to move forward. And God, la-da-da, oh, you know, so sitting there, and I'm encouraging. you know, I'm encouraging him. His wife is in tears. My wife, Carol, she said, oh, we would never do anything to hurt you. And I'm going, no, I'm there, you know. At the same time, I'm not bitter. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Lord Jesus. Lord. I'm free. And so, but I remember at the same time, they got leaflets being printed. New church started. He waited till I came to Prescott before he announced the church. Oh, he looked me in the eye. I love you. You got to remember that. That's why sometimes your words, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's just, you've got to understand that. Well, I told him. Sometimes it's just not enough. Remember the guy, what was his name? Haziel. The prophet looks at him and starts to weep, says, I know what you're going to do. And he tells him, he said, would I do that? Am I a dead dog? Am I a dog that I would do that? And then he does. That's why a heart has to be proved. And proving yourself is biblical. It's called repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11, the very foundation of our faith in 2 Corinthians 7, 11 to 12 says, for observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. Oh, what diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear. What vehement desire. What zeal. What vindication. In all things, you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. And Jesus said this. He said, you will know them by their fruits. You know, in a worldly court, we are innocent until proven guilty. Well, sometimes, I mean, it is a bit debatable these days, but generally that's the rule. But in the kingdom, we're often guilty until we can prove ourselves innocent. Why? Because we're wicked. Because we have potentials and sinfulness in our hearts. And so it's quite easy. And so here it is. This is the crutch of the sermon, is that you have to value that relationship enough to prove it. Wow. You got to value that and that relationship enough to prove it. This relationship is of God, and I will do all that I can do to keep it because I need it. I need it and it's valuable. When you see a man so easily walk away, well, it's not my, you know, I wasn't, you know, when you see it, did it really mean that little to you? Pastor Field spoke about spiritual fathers this morning. I don't know about your heart, but my heart, that's deep. Does it mean something to you? Well, he's looking at me, he thinks I'm this. And? Prove it. Humble yourself. Prove it. You see no more God in this? My father, David said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. And then he weeps when Saul dies, weeps and kills the man that pretended to kill him. Vexed. See, I want to just simply say a relationship often deepens when it survives misunderstandings, when it survives failure, when it survives suspicions. John Mark, you're profitable to me, said Paul. He's watched him over the time period, the years, and he comes to the conclusion, this young man is a man of God. Peter, who betrayed Christ, became the leader of the church, given the responsibility of leading the church by the same Christ that he betrayed. So I want to close as we think about sealing of destiny. This friend of mine that sat in my lounge room and we discussed dining room, He was a good friend, but the problem was he was always paranoid about leadership. I'd known him for years. He always had this, I don't know where he got it from, somehow, that one day his church would be taken from him, the leaders weren't really for him. They viewed him with suspicion. His mentality was, unless you're in certain circles, you're doomed. And so in his mind, I'm guessing that because of that paranoia, he begins retaliating against an imagined threat by sowing rebellion. Eventually took the whole church out of our UK fellowship. 3 months later, they threw him out and sent him back to Australia. Terrible scene. Church decimated. Him lost in destiny. A destiny determined. Now, what we're talking about, I know many of you not in this place, put it in your heart. One day, if this ever happens to me, right now I'm up here, right now I'm, you know, but if it ever happens to me, that those that I love and look up to, they look at me funny, this, maybe I fail and they're just, or whatever, then remember this. Because this is destiny defining. This is God, this relationship from God. In our story, God is involved. We are not left on our own. And I want to say this to you. If we care about that relationship, this relationship that we have, God will care. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 26, so David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head and they got away. And no man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Now, David would not have known that. He's just stepping through it. He's fighting for this relationship. He's going to prove again and again. I'm going to prove my heart, and God begins to help him. Now, I know some of we're not sure of that, but I'm telling you, God will help. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. You know, with Pastor Mitchell, I remember, and Brother Ross Hounslow's here this morning, and he would remember too. I remember, it was a trip to Israel. I'm on a trip to Israel, you know what I'm saying? It's like I'm on the trip. And minding my business, you know, just kind of there, you know, and there was, there's, come this way. So, you know, I walk in and there's Pastor Mitchell's there and Pastor Campbell. And I mean, it's on. Pastor Mitchell, I mean, it was on. I'm sitting there, you know, and Pastor Campbell's, I remember, I can remember it. He's right next to me, looking at me. Brother Hounslow's brought in, aren't you, Ross? Come in. Boom, boom. Hammered. Now, let me tell you something. I am not the most secure man. Right? I'm not like just, hey, I'm often paranoid and insecure. But not that day. Not that day at all. Because I knew Pastor Mitchell. And I knew him to be a man of God. And I knew things were happening and I knew my heart, but I understood why he felt the way he felt. And I knew him to be a man of God. There's no other man that has influenced me so much. And I sat there and again, as I said, I'm not a strong, you know, but that I was absolute, I was confident in him. I'm confident in the God that I serve. And sure enough, in the processing of time and life and serving God, serving the fellowship, serving, it turned around obviously. And I'm eternally grateful to Pastor Mitchell. See, what we're talking about is destiny. Saul looked at David in 1 Samuel 24 and said, "Now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand." What he's saying is, he says, "I know," and I say this to every young disciple here, "I know that God's will for your life will be fulfilled if you respond like this, because this attitude is a destiny attitude. The way you handle life when you're out of favor brings God's favor."
Yes, amen. That's right.
Thank you. God, I need encouragement. That's what I'm saying. You're a little bit of a boost. You're a hard crowd, man. You look like. You need to. Thank you, sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. God will vindicate. God will fight for the righteous. I've seen men quit too soon. God pulls back covers on leaders. God, but they gave up too soon. I tell you, God's in control. But I tell you this. Ecclesiastes 10:4, if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. This is your post. This is the test of those that are on the front line, those that are doing something for God. You're living with calling. Don't leave it. Your responsibility is to prove it. Your responsibility is whatever the, maybe my own doing, maybe someone's whispered in their ear, maybe in their own head, the enemy's assaulted. I don't know all the reasons behind this, but I can tell you this. I get it. I'm not speaking against. I'm not fighting. I'm not sulking. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it by doing right over and over again. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it. Because when you live like that, God will fight. Because when you care about that relationship enough to humble yourself and fight for it, I'm telling you, you can creep through a camp and God will be on your side. You see, in the post office, and I'm closing now, in the post office scandal, the government was incredibly complacent. There's still many that have never received any compensation. They're fighting for it now. It's a bad scene. The government slack. That's not our God. God's involved in this from the very beginning. This relationship matters to him, and he will get involved. Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Pastors, disciples, ministry leaders, how many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.